I've created a team and a family within the company where even guys are not lured by money. They'd rather stay in the environment where they're happy to turn up every day to work without any dramas, you know, or any of that culture that exists out there, you know, with the bullying, the rubbish talk, yeah, just the alcohol and drugs, you know. I've seen it, and even being in Sydney here, I still see it on site, people drinking on the job.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Talking business ownership, the nuts and bolts, and everything in between.
And welcome to another episode of the Tradies Business Show. Great to have you with me. Really stoked with the messages I get from you, my listeners. After all, you're the reason I do this show. I started this show a few years ago now to help tradies like my dad and my mates who, you know, maybe a little bit late for the old man, but for you guys listening in, hoping that you take value from these episodes and that more than anything, you apply what you hear. If you listen to an episode and you get some good ideas, make sure you write it down and do something with it. So actually implement change in your business or in your life, whatever it is that you take away from these episodes. Hopefully it's something. But make sure you do something with it. A little like today's guest. I was introduced to my guest today via a mutual friend. My friend and I did some work or do some work with Mates in Construction. You would have heard me talk about them. And today's guest is another suicide survivor. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about culture and not the stuff you find in yogurt. Oh, boom, boom. Another one of my dad jokes. I'm glad my daughter's not old enough to listen to this show yet. Well, apart from the rude words that get used sometimes, but she thinks my dad joke's pretty funny. I wonder how long that'll last. She's about to turn 6, and although I don't talk to her very often, she still thinks her dad's pretty funny. Hope that remains when she's 25. Anyway, today's guest, he has built a pretty amazing team, a very large team, and a very loyal team in an industry that you might think is a bit challenging. I hear a lot from tradies out there in business that, oh, Warwick, you can't get good staff and young people today. And I don't know why I'm doing sort of an old man voice. Maybe it's the grumpy old man thing. But I do hear that a lot. Can't get good staff. There's, you know, employees these days, all that sort of stuff. And yet today's guest will hopefully change your mind a little bit about that. And maybe, just maybe, you will take a look in the mirror and have a look at yourself when it comes to how your team's performing. So strap yourself in for another episode. Great chat with this guy. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. Been through some incredible challenges in his life and by all means is putting himself out there and helping other people these days, which is great to see. So stick around till the end. I'll let you know how you can get in touch with our guest or find out more about him. And apart from that, enjoy. Joining me today on the Tradies Business Show is a man by the name of Aleki Shomkul. I hope I've said that right, mate.
Oh, that's correct.
Nice.
That's correct.
So listeners might pick up you've got a bit of a funny accent, mate. You haven't managed to get rid of it entirely. And if they could see a photo of you, they would see this beautiful man with a very short haircut, which is what I used to sport, mate. But we were just joking before I hit record about I've decided to grow my hair back and try and recapture my youth, but the greys give me away. So, mate, enough about me. Can you give my listeners, you're the guest. I obviously haven't had enough coffee today. Introduce yourself, Aleki. Who are you, mate? And what the bloody hell are you doing here?
Yeah, my name's Aleki. 47 years old. Next week, grew up, born in Tonga. 3 years, living there and then migrated to New Zealand. So I think that's where the accent comes from.
Cross the ditch, yeah, mate.
That's it. Then lived in New Zealand for about 22 years before I decided to come to the real country of the milk and honey.
Nice, mate. Nice plug for Australia. Good on you.
Yeah, and majority of my life I've been in the construction industry from doing various jobs from carpentry, concreting, machinery, managing, and the whole lot. So I've had 29 years experience in the industry. So, and currently now a business owner for 10 years.
Nice, mate. And to put everybody in the picture, what's your current business? So, Lucky, give us a bit of an overview of what you're up to at the moment.
Yeah, my current business now is in the construction formwork sector.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all the concrete works, the main structures, anything to do with concrete. We're here to build that mold, to build up all these big structures in all the cities here in Australia. So, yeah, nice. we're moving about now. But just in the last 3 years when I returned back from overseas, I found my purpose where I could give back to the industry, and just seeing the culture of the bullying, the alcohol, the drugs, the abuse, gambling. I've seen it all. The suicides of close friends have died, killing themselves or drinking themselves to death, and also dying on site. I've seen it all, and just being away overseas, it really made me think that I could give back this time round to the industry.
So, Aleki, what were you doing overseas, mate?
I was working for my old boss in Dubai, in the construction industry. He has 3,000 staff, which I was also blessed to train and teach and enhance their skill level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how many workers have you got on or working with your company at the moment?
At the moment, I have about 70 plus, and about 80% of them 17 to 25.
Wow. That's
the ages. Yeah.
Do any of them refer to you as dad? Like,
Both my sons work for me.
Yeah, okay. There you go. And touché.
Yeah, they're both 20, and we have a lot of their schoolmates that come in and work too, and they're the age group that we target because they haven't been set in their ways.
Mm.
So we're teaching them a lot of leadership. It's not about the work. It's teaching them leadership to be leaders in their own lives.
Yeah. And I know that's something you're very passionate about, Aleki, and we'll definitely talk about that some more today. Well, give us an idea of some of the projects that you've worked on. I mean, you talked about, concrete formwork and everything to do with concrete and keeping it where it's supposed to be. Give us an idea. What's some of the projects that you've worked on, mate?
Okay, the biggest project I've worked on was the Sydney Olympic Stadium.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, massive job. And it's a national landmark now.
Sometimes for the right reasons, mate.
Yep, that's it. Only when Queensland wins, though.
you've adopted Queensland as your home state, have you, mate?
Oh, definitely.
You've gone with the winning side, at least.
Yeah, that's it. When I first moved from New Zealand, I moved up to a little town called Tully up in North Queensland.
Oh, yeah.
The banana town.
Yep. Did you get a job bending bananas up there, Aleki?
Yeah, that's where my uncle put me.
Nice.
Yeah. So 6 weeks after that, I just said, oh, see you later. And I ended up starting construction here in Australia, building the Reef Casino up in Cairns.
Yeah, right. So yeah. I'm curious, mate, how does a southern brother from New Zealand come to this country and land such big projects, you know, formworking and employing heaps of guys?
It took a while. Like I've only been in business for 10 years, but just staying in the industry and knowing how it works and trying to implement things in with the company. And if it doesn't work, you just end up opening up your own and putting in your own ideas and culture.
So did you how did you get work? Because presumably you started up your company, you didn't have any customers. What was some of the things you did to actually get it going and get to the stage where now you've got, you know, 70 plus workers and obviously a large company that you've built?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It was bloody hard. Yeah, I started off just with a small team of about four guys, and we were building a school.
Mm-hmm.
We're building a school, and we were there for few months, and like any business, it's still teething, and we had our ups and downs just in the first few months.
Yep.
So that was a big challenge in itself, and just over time you just start picking up ideas and also getting feedback from contractors and other people in the trade. And just willing to implement what they've passed on to me.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned that it was hard at the start, and I'm sure you've had some challenges along the way. What's been some of your I'll refer to them as learnings. What's been some of your big learnings in business and I guess in life as well, Aleki?
Yeah, it's my big lesson was get a contract. You know, a gentleman's agreement, a shake hand, doesn't always it doesn't always end up in a nice place, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have some bad experiences with that, mate?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, a few times. Even with contracts, the industries are riddled with corruption and snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not a good industry to be in if you're tied in with the wrong people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And I guess, you know, that holds true for anything in life. If you're hanging out with the wrong crowd, what's the saying? If you lay with dog, you wake up with dogs, you wake up with fleas or something. So
yeah, that's it.
So obviously, you know, making sure that you dot your I's and cross your T's. What was some of the, maybe hiccups along the way growing the business and getting to where you were now?
Yeah, just getting, I think you get burnt a few times along the way, and they really make you learn. Just financially or even from your own workers. Staff. So, you learn as time goes to the do's and don'ts in growing your business or keeping your business small and simple.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting the right guys, and I think that's what I've got now down pat, is just teaching the men. It's the mindset, not the skill.
Yeah, okay.
That I need to teach the men, yeah.
Yep. Can you tell us more about that? You've obviously had a lot of workers through your business in the last 10 years. What's your secret to success, perhaps? Or, you know, you talk about that mindset stuff. Can you expand on that for us a bit? Because I know a lot of my listeners, I guess, and a lot of tradies just in general struggle to get good staff. And then when they do get good ones, trying to keep them and develop their team. So what's worked for you, mate? Obviously, with so many people on board, you've got something going on for you.
What I've seen over the years is that the workers want to belong to something. So I've created a team and a family within the company where even guys are not lured by money. They'd rather stay in the environment where they're happy to turn up every day to work without any dramas, you know, or any of that culture that exists out there, you know, with the bullying, the rubbish talk, just the alcohol and drugs, you know. I've seen it, and even being in Sydney here, I still see it on site, people drinking on the job. It's
seriously
just taking that away, you know. And I don't want my workers to be around that environment where their well-being's been compromised by people's, you know, stupid choices.
So how do you deal with that, Aleki, when you've got, you know, these massive construction sites with hundreds and hundreds, sometimes thousands of workers on site? Not everybody is going to be following your culture and playing by your rules of the game. How do you, as you say, you know, protect your guys from that?
Our team, they pretty much stick together. They just pull each other up. That's part of what I teach them too, is how to communicate. Mm. If you see something wrong, communicate it, because it's good practice, you know. It's part of the leadership. And the main tool in the leadership is speaking.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Not just seeing stuff go past, but verbalize it, because I know there's a lot of young men, and also in the industry, they don't have a voice. And just not having that voice, they're not fully expressing, you know, what's right, what's wrong. So they're pretty much a partaker of whatever that other guy's doing that's not right.
Yeah, they're just falling into line with whoever they're with.
Yeah, so we teach them to speak their mind, and also teaching a lot of respect, you know, respecting everyone, not just our workers, but everyone who's out there, and also property.
Yeah. And so presumably this doesn't just happen, you know, organically or randomly. Do you have some systems in place, or do you have a formula that you follow? Like, you know, let's say I join your crew and come and start working for you. What does my progression look like as a member of your team?
Just after 2 years of spending a lot of time molding this culture, we have that many men now. So if two or three gets thrown into the team, they'll end up just seeing the culture in all the different workers. Mm. But all in one, you know. We've had a lot of men come through, and they get, they just blend in with everyone else, and end up taking on that the culture and the good vibes.
So really you've created an environment where it's well, not impossible, but it's hard for somebody to come in and not conform to your way of doing things.
Yeah, we've had a few guys come in with egos, and that, and the boys, they just shut them down quickly.
Yep.
And they just go, hey, we don't talk like that around here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, Yeah, or they'll pull them up and ask them what their problem is, you know. Is there any way they can help?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's something that I think a lot of employers struggle with, is how to create a culture like that that is essentially self-sustaining, where as the employer, you don't need to be, you know, individually working with each of your staff. It almost happens automatically as people join that team.
Yeah, yes, that's it. And it all starts with being leaders. And we've trained a lot of leaders. And, yeah, I'm proud to say that our youngest leader, who was 17 years old, he was younger than my son.
Wow.
But they went to the same school. And he was in charge of older men with a team of like 15 workers.
Jeez, mate. So what are you doing to create those leaders, Aleki?
It's just sharing sharing my whole path, my life, and everything that I've done in my life and experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So, just helping these young fellas fast track, really,
yep.
So they can do something better with their life than what I was at that age.
yeah. So you talk about your youth, Aleki, and we haven't really uncovered anything about that. Can you give us some insights into, I suppose, some of the experiences throughout your formative years that really shaped who you are and your decision to do what you're doing?
Yes. Growing up in Auckland, New Zealand, you won't believe that I was always the smallest kid in class.
No, and for the benefit of our listeners, given that this is an audio medium, mate, how tall are you, Aleki?
About 6'1", yep. 6'1", 6'2".
And are you willing to disclose your current body weight, mate, or is that a secret?
110.
Yeah.
Just 110.
And so you were always the smallest in class. What happened, mate? You stand in a bucket of manure or something? What was going on there?
I don't know. I think just in my late teens, I just had a massive growth.
I missed out on that. I missed out on that lunch pack, mate. No, I can tell you.
I don't know where it came from, but I had to go shopping and buy new clothes.
Nice work. So you're the smallest in class growing up, mate. How did that impact you?
Yeah, and being the smallest. Smallest kid, you're always a victim of being bullied and abuse. Not just at school, but also with family and friends too, even strangers.
Mm.
Just growing up as a kid with no confidence.
Yep.
No confidence and... mainly scared and not wanting to speak out or really say what I really wanted to.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when did that change for you, mate? What happened? Apart from getting to 6'1" and 110 kilos, I suspect that changed things.
I think when I left school, and got my size and I had a bit of confidence, you know. I was bigger than the other kids who were bigger than me. during school, I kind of overtook them.
Mm-hmm.
But also being bullied as a kid, I was brought up with a lot of violence and I ended up being violent myself, protecting myself from the bullies, you know, and they were like the same bullies who were bullying me like a decade later.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So bullying just doesn't stop, you know. People still think that you're still this young kid from back in school days and,
yep.
Yeah, but vice versa. All changed.
Mm-hmm.
Different size.
Yeah,
different size. And yeah, not proud of it, but I just have to take it all as a learning.
And so from there, presumably you entered the workforce, mate. What were some of your early experiences what I'm wanting to uncover here, Alecky, is you have a fairly unique way of thinking about your team, and you're working in a pretty rough sort of industry where, as you say, there's a lot of drugs and alcohol and bullying on site and some questionable practices. And yet you seem to have this company and this team that is really, not spotless, but you know, you kind of got that Teflon exterior where that stuff doesn't seem to stick. So I just wonder where that came from for you. Was there a time in your life that you look back on and see that as quite pivotal in you having this attitude?
Oh, yes, definitely. I've seen, like I said earlier, I've seen everything. And losing friends kinds of really make you think, you know. Like one of a good friend of ours that was working on our job, he was getting ready for his 21st birthday and had his girlfriend fly down from North Queensland, and he hung himself before his birthday, and his girlfriend was still flying down.
Dear, oh dear.
And that's just common in the industry. Every second day, someone commits suicide in the industry.
Yeah. And I know I've had a number of guests on the show that have had experience with suicide, and it's certainly not a podcast specifically about that, but it is such a big issue, and it is such a part of what we do. I guess, you know, no different to the fact that, you know, people get heart disease or cancer or anything else. I think the more we can just normalize talking about these issues, the more we can actually start to perhaps change the conversation. So, you know, it's certainly something that we need to be okay to discuss openly, and I'm hoping we can do that here on the Tradies Business Show. But that sort of thing obviously has a profound effect on you, Alecky. I mean, how do you deal with that personally, mate? And not just losing people close to you to suicide, but how do you deal with the cut and thrust of the industry and seem to stay so calm and chilled out, mate? I've only known you for a short time, but I know you to be a very you seem very peaceful, mate. I mean, you're a pretty big bloke, so I wouldn't want to upset you.
Well, I wasn't always like that.
it's easy to be chilled out when no one's willing to take you on, mate.
I think the where it all changed was when I lost everything before I went to Dubai, and even though I was in my business, but back then I didn't have the culture, and I lost everything, and I understand the people going through suicide and depression, because when I lost everything, I was living in my car and depressed and getting ready to jump off the cliffs.
So you've been there yourself, mate, obviously.
Yeah, so I've been there myself, so I understand. And I think when you really hit rock bottom, you either have a choice. You either give up and, you know, give up on life, or you either bounce back. And I've chosen to bounce back and give back.
So I want to talk about the giving back in a moment, but how did you make that choice? Because so many people are faced with so many choices every day and find it difficult to make the best choice or the right choice. And, you know, it doesn't have to be quite as dramatic as, considering taking your own life, but it could be a choice to sack somebody or not, or, get angry and stand up for yourself in a contract situation or not. I mean, how are you guided through those things, Alecky?
I do know now, after a lot of coaching myself and seminars and just working on developing myself and getting tools. And just in the last decade. And it's just taking myself out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was depressed and going through the suicide, I was just focusing on myself.
Yep.
I know now because I've been a few times after I did attempt, and when I changed my focus into like my children or who I can help, I don't even have the that idea of jumping off the cliffs doesn't even come near me now, because I know that I have a purpose in life to contribute my energy and time to other people.
Mm. It's an interesting point you make, and I've done the it's called ASSIST training, so suicide intervention training. But one of the things that that those of us working in this area supporting others talk about is protective factors, and you know, they don't always work. But I think you know, if we take some of those lessons from I guess, you know, what are essentially mental health issues with depression, anxiety, suicide sometimes, but we can take some of those tools and those learnings and apply them just in our day-to-day life as business owners when we're making these choices. And it's very powerful to have that purpose that's outside of ourselves. You know, I could do something for me. I could enter into a contract for me, or I could consider my team and my family and my community and start being motivated by that sort of external factor. And it's very, very powerful.
Yes, yes. And, I used to stress a lot and go bananas, you know. You know, when financial problems come up for the industry, I think everyone knows that. That's the biggest killer, really. Financial stress, you know, you fight with your missus, you go and do stupid things, and but how I deal with it now, and that's how you see me, the last time you see me, and I'm calm all the time.
drink a lot of herbal tea, do you?
When a problem comes, I go, oh shit, and then I just have to sit back and go, okay, why am I really stressed here?
Yeah.
I ask myself that question. And what I do now is I move myself 2 weeks or 3 weeks ahead and look back at me today and go, what the fuck am I stressing about? I've already solved the problem. We stress because we haven't found the solution for it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yes. So I put myself weeks ahead and go, okay, but you can't just sit and do nothing. You have to start actioning stuff to get there so you don't stress, because it's just a lack of action and not having the right solutions.
Particularly for the men listening, we tend to be very much problem solvers, and we want to have those solutions. And if we can't solve the problem, then, you know, in a lot of cases I see guys who feel like they failed or that they're you know, not capable because they can't solve these problems before them. But you know, that you contrast that with the way women approach things, and they tend to, I guess, feel things more. They're not so attached to fixing everything right now. And I think oftentimes our lady listeners are better at solving problems sometimes, because, you know, there's more emotion involved often, they're also not as attached to that instant solution. And I have to fix it now, and if I don't, then I'm useless.
Yeah, I know. That's the male mentality.
Yeah. Whereas if we just let things be for a bit and do like you say, you know, step out of that situation you're in and look at it from a different perspective, which can be hard sometimes, but it's definitely a critical part of dealing with those challenges as they come up.
Yeah, it's the it's like anything. The more you keep practicing it, it just becomes a habit.
Yep. It's building it, like building a muscle, mate. Not that you probably need to do much more of that. So,
That's it.
Alecky, you talked about giving back. What does that look like for you these days?
Well, it's still going on. Still sharing, sharing and inspiring people that I cross paths with. Also in the different industries, and also some of my contractors when I've shared my. It's just that power of sharing it that when you just share with people you know but you don't really know them, they kind of open up when you're raw and honest with them.
Yep.
And then they'll come up with, oh, shit, I was there too, you know. I was just about to do that, you know, a couple years ago. And so it's kind of opened up a relationship because – just sharing a story, and then they open up with their story and they go, oh, wow, I'm getting stuff from his story too as he's getting stuff from mine. So, you know, we both benefit. And that's the power of sharing, just inspiring people and also letting them open up as well, because just sharing and opening up has been a healing process for me. So the more I keep sharing, I don't dwell in my past, but I dwell in the outcome that I'm living today.
Yeah, it is so very powerful, and not that we want to be just going around talking about ourselves, but I think creating that space where we can find that common experience amongst people around us. I had a conversation just yesterday with a mate of mine who's going through a divorce, and you know, I'm still sort of transitioning through mine a couple of years later, and it was exactly that. You know, we had a cup of coffee, we sat down. It wasn't a counselling session or a bitch session. It was literally just talking about our experiences, and you know, he heard that I'd been through some similar stuff, and you know, we swapped notes and feelings and experiences, and just the whole mood, particularly for him, lifted by the end of that, because he's sort of in the thick of it at the moment. And awesome. I think, yeah, it's just identifying or realizing that others are going through this too. And as much as we know that, until we're actually sitting with perhaps someone like you, Alecky, or you know, a friend or whatever it might be, even a professional counselor or psychologist, it's like, oh, right, other people have been through this too.
Yeah.
And are going through it and have gotten through it and you know, come through it okay.
Yeah.
So are you doing anything more formal other than just being a great bloke and sharing with people around you, mate?
I'm doing a few workshops, one later this month and one in November, so I can speak on stage, so I can share more of my story and the leadership that I have with my workers to touch more people. I've just done my blue card too, so I can hit the schools too, you know, the teenagers at, you know, from the schools.
Yep.
Just before they leave, you know, leave school, you know, I could share my story, you know, of the bullying and the path and, you know, just having leadership in their own lives.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Now,
sorry, mate. I know there are quite a number of younger tradies that listen to the show, and I know it's an area that you're passionate about, Alecky, is I guess, supporting and developing the young guys that are coming through and girls. What would be your tips or advice or, you know, mentorship to that younger generation of tradespeople coming through?
Yeah, always be willing to learn. Respect everyone, because it'll come back, you know, when you respect everyone and give everything a go, opportunities will open up. you know, when you're being a dick or not giving anything a go, you might as well just pack up and leave.
Mm.
Yeah. And, yeah, mainly just asking, because I know there's a lot of young men. I was there myself, or young women. If you don't know anything, ask. Don't be afraid, because that's where your knowledge will come from. Mm. Or even ask them to show you if you don't know, because you look like a bigger dick if you don't know and you're trying to do something that that looks ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true, mate. I've learned that the hard way over the years too.
Yeah, me too. So that's what I'm sharing with everyone, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my whole life, you know, everything I've done and gone through. And yeah.
And what about for us older blokes, mate, that are probably employing younger people and maybe sometimes finding it a bit frustrating to work with that younger generation without generalising too much? I mean, what can us old people, older people, I shouldn't say old, what can us more mature people learn or change to have a positive impact on this whole scenario?
Oh, I think we've got to have a lot of patience. Yeah, a lot of patience and, yeah, just be willing to train the guys, you know, or interview and have a talk. It's not just about the work, but also getting to know them personally and what they do and, you know, stuff that's going on in the background, you know. Mm. Yeah, because the last thing you want is a scared worker. Then you're never going to know anything about him. He's not going to perform as well. Mm. Yeah, and there could be shit that's going on in the background that you should know, and you don't. So, yeah, it's just being yeah, like I said, with my work is welcoming, having that welcoming feel for them starting, and that'll build their confidence to be more open, open back to you, because you'd want a worker that communicates with you then, rather than one that just keeps quiet and just told what to do.
Yeah, and that goes back to what you're saying about building a team that has a culture that is almost has a life of its own, mate.
Oh, definitely. And, yeah, and I think just with this business the last 3 years after Dubai, that's the most fulfilling part about my business now. It's not the money. Even though I've upped my rates and, you know, got more workers, expanded, the most fulfilling part is giving back and seeing their growth in their leadership in their own lives.
Mm, that's awesome, mate. So what's next for you, Alecky? You've got the big form working company, heaps of guys, good culture. You're a chilled out dude. You're not the smallest in class anymore. what's next for you, mate?
Oh, what's next? Oh, well, yeah, just the speaking on stage to touch more people, schools, you know, building sites, anywhere.
Yep.
Yeah, just making a difference, eh? Making a difference. And also growing my workers. Like I have, my head's going round and round, because most of the kids that I've employed, they've come from broken families. Some have just come out of jail and they're still young.
Yep.
You know, from the adult jail. Mm. And, you know, and in the lockup every week, you know, so just seeing the change in their life, you know, is, yeah, it's, yeah, it just makes me fulfilled and want to keep going, eh?
Yeah.
And finding a way to do it on a bigger scale.
Nice, mate. Nice. Well, yeah. The world certainly needs more employers and more blokes like you, Alecky. So, mate, thank you for all the work that you do. If listeners would like to stalk you or find out more about you or your company or perhaps even your speaking gigs, is there a good way for people to go and check you out or get in touch with you, mate?
Oh, just email or call me. Yeah. Always open to share whatever knowledge or advice that I have with everyone.
Cool, mate.
So open book.
So your company name is Alpha Stream, is that that's correct?
Yes, Alpha Stream. A-L-F-A. So Alpha. Seattle Alpha was already taken.
Nice, mate. And I'll put a link in the show notes with your contact details. But mate, thank you again for coming on the Tradies Business Show. It's been awesome to have a chat and learn a bit more about you. We don't know each other extremely well, but I know a fair bit about you, and the mutual friend that connected us speaks very highly of you, mate, and certainly sounds like you're doing some awesome stuff out there in an industry that certainly is facing some challenges and could do with a bit of positive change from people like yourself, mate. So thank you again.
Yeah, and thank you for the opportunity, Woz. It was great. Also to meet you in person early on this year, so very blessed, very blessed.
Awesome, mate. Well, look, thanks for coming on the show, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, buddy. Yes, there you have it, Alecky Shomkel from Alpha Stream. Now, as Alecky said, he's also working with people in the industry, doing a bit of basically mentoring, I guess. We can't have too many mentors around the place. It's you know, if you had six good mentors, it'd be better than having one, which is certainly better than having none. So anyway, go to tradiesbusinessshow.com, find this episode, and check out the show notes. You'll see a link in there with Alecky's contact details. As always, thanks for listening. I've enjoyed today's episode. I hope you did too. Hooroo.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.